So I was reading Rabbi Sacks, and I found that I gently disagreed with him. No, Rabbi Sacks is a good guy, but one of the things that he said, and this is common throughout rabbinic literature, it's not just him, that the thing that Eleazar was looking for when he went up to get a bride for Isaac was chesed, which is typically translated as loving kindness or grace or whatever. All the rabbinic literature says that this was a gracious lady who exhibited chesed, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, in everything she did. And I gently disagree with that. Not that she probably wasn't, but what's going on in the story doesn't show that. So you remember he goes to the well in Haran, and he prays to God. And he says, all right, I'm looking for a wife for my master's son. I'm new in town. I don't know anybody. So this is the time of the day when all the young women come out to draw water for the evening. May it be that I ask a young woman, would you give me a drink? And she says, not only will I give you a drink, but I will water your camels. That way I will know that you, God, have showed chesed to my master. So chesed here is an attribute of God, not of Rivka in the text, first off. So then Rivka comes up and it says she's very beautiful, and I suspect that Eleazar goes, wow, good-looking lady. In other words, he's not going to pick somebody that he doesn't think is a good-looking lady. So he picks her and says, will you give me a drink? And she says, sure. Now, at that point, she is doing hospitality or chesed. Yeah, okay, have a drink from my jug. But then things change. And she says, not only that, I'll water all your camels. Now, at that point, what she is exhibiting is not loving kindness, but enterprise or hustle or work, because she's going to draw water for a caravan of 10 camels and all the guys. She expects to be compensated. You know, you'll give somebody like that a tip, if you will. So they come and water all your camels. You would naturally give them a gift, and she expects that. However, the gift that he gave her in today's monetary terms is about $11,000. The weight of the gold that he gave her in that process is today's money about $11,000, give or take. So when she goes back to see her brother, you've seen those old cartoons where the eyes bug out and dollar signs show on the eyeballs? That's what's going on with Laban. This guy has given my sister $11,000 just for watering 10 camels. Imagine what we're going to get if we put him up for the night. I'm not saying she was not gracious. I am saying that the attribute that the servant was looking for was a young woman who would be industrious. And you've all read Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is the attributes of a godly wife. You go down to verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness, chesed, is on her tongue. In other words, she is a kind woman. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she is industrious within her house. She keeps everything going. She makes the house running smoothly and that kind of thing. So what Eleazar is looking for here is a young woman who has the attribute of not eating the bread of idleness, if you will, when she gets married to his master. And oh, by the way, she better be good looking too, which she is. As I say, I gently disagree with Rabbi Sacks on this. Not a big disagreement, but I think that the thing that he's looking for is not chesed, but diligence. So let's talk about chesed. It's mentioned 245 times in the Bible. Big deal. And two-thirds of those are attributes of God. It is a major attribute of God. And remember when Eleazar is praying, he says, I will know you, God, have shown chesed to my master. So we're looking for chesed from God in making my journey fruitful. So, translations. There is no word in English that's equivalent. When Coverdale was translating the Hebrew Bible into English in 1535, he hit that word and says, there's no English word to use here. So he made one up. And what he made up was loving kindness. So in your King James versions of the Bible, you will see wherever there's chesed, it will be loving kindness. I read Alan Marinus's book last night on everyday holiness, which is the Musar book. Excellent book, by the way. We have copies back there if you want to read it. And he says, that's still not quite right. Loving kindness is close, but it's not really quite right. And he says, what is actually a little bit better is loving, sustaining kindness. It isn't the fact that you are kind to someone, but that you take actions to sustain that person in some way as part of that process. So it's being kind and sustaining, both. I kind of like that. So as we think about this, let's figure out what it looks like and how you get it, because it's also a major character trait in Musar, and rightly so. I'm going to quote Marinus, black threads are woven into the fabric of every life. What he's saying here is every life is going to have difficulties. Bad things are going to happen to everybody. This is the black threads are woven through everybody's life. And what chesed is supposed to do is sustain each other when the other is experiencing one of those bleak periods in life, which we all do. And that sustaining can be giving something. The person is broke and needs help with rent or whatever. It can be giving money. It can also be comforting. So if someone has lost a loved one or somebody, going in and comforting and showing up, if you will, would be an example. Helping someone. There's a rabbinic example where some guy is struggling under a heavy load. And the rabbi says, if you're walking along beside him, it is not chesed to help him carry that load. It is simply something that any reasonable person would do. Chesed is when you're going the other way and you turn around to help him carry his heavy burden. Don't get me wrong. I am not saying that if you're going the same way, you shouldn't help him, and neither is the rabbi. He's simply saying, you're not really going out of your way here. You're just simply doing a good turn for someone, which is also great. And then it might be paying attention. You know, when somebody is having a problem or hurting, you know, listen to them, pay attention, just be there for them to talk to. So in order for there to be chesed, there have got to be two parties involved. There's got to be a giver and there's got to be a receiver. Now, one of the things that people do is they, oh no, I can do it myself. Well, what you've done is you have deprived somebody of the ability to do you a good turn. Think about that a minute. There has to be a receiver in order for someone to do good to someone else. So if you're walking around like a two-year-old, I can do it myself, then what you've done is you've deprived somebody of the ability to act in the image of God in your presence. Now, Rabbi Dessler, a Musar rabbi, says that there's two kinds of words. One is receivers, which I just talked about. The other is takers. And in Rabbi Dessler's opinion, they really have two different meanings. To receive a mitzvah is to do a mitzvah to the one who wants to give. You're both doing the right thing there. Taking, on the other hand, is the basis of all sin. Because a taker looks at everything and says, mine, mine. Yours right now, but mine. That kind of thing. So a taker is someone who is grasping, if you will, and always trying to take stuff, whereas a receiver is someone who helps someone else do a mitzvah. As Rabbi Dessler says, takers are the source of all evil. And I kind of agree with that. So what does Yeshua say about this? It'd be surprising if he didn't say something, right? I'm in Luke chapter 6, verse 32. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So Yeshua is fully on board with Moses on this one, and with the rabbis, as you would expect. Let's go to Micah, and I'm in Micah 6. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Three things there. One is doing justice. You should be just, and you should expect the world to be just. And when the world is not just, you should work to get it corrected. But you should love kindness. And kindness, by the way, is chesed. That's what we're talking about here. You should love kindness. And then, of course, walk humbly with your God. Because it is entirely possible to do kindness arrogantly. In fact, one of the things that went through my head, one of the things that you see around Boulder is bumper stickers about being kind. I'm very suspicious because by the time something becomes a bumper sticker in Boulder, it means something slightly different than what it means in Bible speak. Now, I may be being cynical, probably am, but the idea of kindness in Boulder speak may mean something very different. And again, don't get me wrong, I'm not automatically condemning somebody who has such a bumper sticker. It's sort of like the term justice has morphed into something that isn't really not justice. And I worry that in the hands of liberal Boulder, kindness may have morphed into something that isn't biblical kindness, but I don't know. It's just a thought. So how do you come to love chesed? How do you come to love loving, sustaining kindness? And the answer to that is practice. First thing that you'll find is your life will go better, even though you would think that giving out would diminish you. It doesn't. It, in fact, enriches you. And it, in fact, changes your character. And that's the whole object of the exercise of the set. Remember, I said it's in the Bible 245 times, two-thirds of which are attributes of God. And you're expected to do your best to become like God. That's the whole purpose of this exercise that we're all going through, is to develop your character so that you become closer to God. And again, obviously recognizing that there's still going to be a great gap between you and Yeshua, no matter how hard you try, but that's the object. And if that is an attribute of God, and it is, let me go to Exodus. This is where Moses is standing in the cleft of the rock. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, Yehovah, Yehovah, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in chesed and faithfulness, keeping chesed for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, who will by no means clear the guilty, he's just, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So he is doing justice and he is loving chesed, which is what we want to do. It is often difficult because you come across someone who actually needs some, and very often they're kind of prickly, sort of like the two-year-old, I can do it myself or get away from me kind of thing. But as you go through that, what you'll do is you'll change yourself and you will change your community. You will change those around you. So practice.